Every child has questions, but many children never ask those questions. Somebody's going to answer those questions. As parents, we want to do the answering. Listen to your children and anticipate the questions ahead of time.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J., and there's so many twists and turns in life. Can we really anticipate all the questions? Because I'm always shocked. I think I'm prepared, and they always ask the one question I never thought about.
Well, I think there's going to be lots of questions. We're going to talk this week about some of those questions, and we'll anticipate some of those questions and think through them. But they have the sex questions, and actually, they have the sex questions early on, and we wait too long until everybody's uncomfortable. They're 28 years old, and they're asking the other sex questions or whatever, and there are situations that you realize you're going into that you don't even have the complete answer, and they need to be at least talking about it, and they need to hear it's okay if we can't answer them. I mean, I remember a situation. Tori was probably 17, and Roby, that would have made him 14, and my dad died. And, you know, my dad died in his 80s, and he died of cancer. My dad died, as far as we know, a non-believer. And my kids had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for Opa to come to Christ. And Roby wrote him a long letter on coming to Christ. In fact, they found my dad dead in the hospital bed, gripping Roby's letter.
Wow.
But we're driving back from the funeral, and finally it came out. How did this happen? And I don't remember exactly how they said it or why. Why did Opa die? And I said, well, Opa died because we all die. And then they started asking, but we prayed so hard for him. And I said, well, you know, when we prayed, I told you it's not just about a healing. It's a healing of his heart, not his body, that he would come to Christ. And I realized they actually felt and thought that if we prayed hard enough, they would push the right button where Opa would have a miraculous healing or a faith healing or something. Mm-hmm. And I'd not opened this topic of conversation. And I also realized it's the first funeral I ever took them to.
Wow.
Was the funeral of a loved one, rather than, hey, I'm going to a funeral. Why don't one of you come with me? And I realized I'd missed an area of discussion with my children. And children have questions. Every child has a question. Sometimes they have no clue how to ask them. Sometimes they have no time to ask it. Sometimes they don't even know what to ask. But there are questions we all have. And in those questions, as a parent, I need to create the venues. It may be the venue of lying down on their bed with them and talking to them, which I did with one of my children after the funeral of Opa. But I think sometimes it's just, let's go for a walk. Let's go to Lowe's. And on the drive to Lowe's, put the question down there or have these discussions. They have questions. Over a period of their lifetime, someone's going to answer those questions. And over a period of lifetime, someone may be giving answers to questions they haven't even asked, so that all of a sudden they have that answer and it's the wrong answer.
Mm.
And so as a parent, part of my job is to either anticipate the questions, listen to the question beneath the question, or realize, boy, there's just some things we need to be talking about. I need to initiate the answer before they know it to have the question. And that with my dad, it was the death of my dad. They knew in our family, I'm the only one who came to Christ that we know of. And, you know, they asked me questions about my mom. And they said, you know, you have your mom's Bible. Does that mean she's a Christian? And I said, well, I think a lot of people have Bibles. I mean, that's the number one best-selling book, right? So
right.
I think a lot of people have Bibles. I don't know. I'm hoping my mom was a Christian. I'm almost claiming that sometimes. In the way I talk about meeting and talking with her in heaven. And I think there's some issues here. And one of the issues here, the Bible says, I've got to trust God. And then it goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and give him the unanswerable questions. Lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't understand this, or if I have a different understanding, no. In everything you do, acknowledge him, it says, and he'll direct your path. I want to have these discussions with my children so they don't hit a college campus and have just the opposite, the God-haters or whatever they are, people who believe they're God themselves in these little college campuses sometimes or university squares. I want to give my children the dialogues to have and to know and to be processing.
And sometimes, honestly, we try to avoid some of these questions, or we want to protect the kids so much, take the bad air out of the Tupperware, like you say all the time. But then they're growing up. Like right now, two of my stepkids are in middle school. Okay, topics of boys and girls are coming out. And, you know, I'm thinking, are they old enough to be talking about
this? Well, today's middle school is yesterday's high school. There is no doubt about it. So why do you think we avoid these hard things? Why do you think as parents we avoid them or give quick answers rather than discussions? Or why do we do that?
I think, honestly, part of it is a little bit of denial. At least it is for me. I'm like, no, they can't be old enough to be liking boys and liking girls. What is this? I didn't like boys. And then I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I guess I did like boys at that time. But so you have a few reality checks. But also, I think we think if we open up the difficult questions, we might be opening up a can of worms that they didn't have to go down that path necessarily right now. We'll wait for them to say it so that we're responding instead of exposing them to something that might open up more things that we don't want them to be exposed to.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think those are great answers. We act like, take death, for instance. We'll get to another day on the sex questions, but take death. I think that we act like children don't know that death is going to happen, and yet their pets die. They kill people on their video games or whatever those games are. And so it's a reality, and it's not a video game. There's not a reset. Mm-hmm. You actually graduate or go to hell. You're one of those two places. Mm-hmm. I think they are questions. I think because our children don't know how to ask them yet, or don't know that they even should be, but they've got to be thinking about it, and there's got to be some fear. We've got to take those questions on and make them comfortable discussions. Mm-hmm. I think, though, I think for a lot of us, we have a hard time saying to our kids, I don't know the answer to that. That may be a little more male than female.
Because parents are supposed to know everything. Well, that's what one of them told me one day.
Absolutely. And as a dad, I like to act like I know everything. And so that may be male. But I think when we get in these discussions and we don't know the answers, rather than saying, I'll get back with you, or let's look that up, or what, you know, we've got a search engine on our Bible program. Is there an answer there? I think we miss not only the answer, but the process. And the process is more important than the answer. By not having the answers and not doing the process, we don't give them the process for answers that they're going to need later on. You know, cloning was a question that wasn't asked. And when the cloning wasn't asked, in that whole scenario of cloning, no one knew the process. The Christians were behind. Christians were behind on abortion because it hadn't been okay, give me the yes or no's. And Christians like yes or no's. And parents like yes or no. Can I do this? No. Rather than talking about it. Can I do this? Yes. We don't like, where do we go to get the answer? And we don't like to process. And then we miss the thinking part. I think there's another thing. You're a barbarian child, and we've said this over and over. If you have two children, you have a pleaser and a barbarian. Your pleaser child might be happy with mom's answer or dad's answer. Your barbarian child's going to press it and take it on.
Right.
And why? And I don't agree with that. And we don't like them to have a different opinion. That scares us to death. I think this answering these questions is opening up the discussion not only for questions everybody has. Why do people die? Does everybody die? When do you die? How do you die? Where do you go when you die? I think number two, it's not just the answer, but it's the process and the location of where you go to get answers, giving children their own think engine. And using that think engine and how to do the search in this think engine called Bob's brain and Tori's brain and Roby's brain and Ruthie's brain. And where do you make the connect? But everybody has questions. So I think there's a process we want to do. And if we just sit and wait for our children to find the time, find the inclination, then they may never get to it, may be embarrassed to ask it, may not want to know, they don't have all the answers, especially your teenager, and may fear a discussion or an argument with a parent.
So do you recommend then sort of opening up the can of worms a little bit?
Absolutely. I recommend taking your children to a funeral.
Okay.
I recommend the reality of that. And there is no Tupperware. They see television.
That alone is internet.
So I recommend however you want. There may be a lot of moms that just passed out and had to pull over the side of the road and breathe into a bag when I said that, taking them to a funeral. So don't take them to a funeral, but open up the topic. Mm-hmm. It's a reality. And everybody dies. One of the challenges during the Vietnam War with my generation was we kind of felt invincible. And these guys go off to Vietnam and see somebody get killed and they go into shock. We do die. Mm-hmm. I'm not invincible. Mm-hmm. And so there's some reality discussions. But the beauty is that dying is the doorway. At least we say it is, to better and better and awesome and incredible. And so I want to open up this discussion, and I want to open this discussion with my children about things like death, to open up the lines of communication, to help them get the right answers, to help them learn how to think, to help them know they can come to me, to help them know I don't know all the answers. I have a freedom to say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. And there are some things that you just take by faith, that God has the answer here. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, why did this happen? I don't know. But God does, and he makes all things work together for good. And so I want to start that. And the fifth, I think, reason, if we're enumerating, is I want to teach my children to talk. and right. teach my children to ask and ask questions.
And it's hard because if they're not already doing that, you know, you'll say, well, kids, what'd you think about, you know, that funeral? I don't know. And that's all you get, you yeah. know, and because they're not trained to. So how would you do that?
Well, I think that's great. I think there's two things in that. I think sometimes we get too heavy with them. I think they came and asked a question about sex and they got the 2-hour discussion with both books out and they think, OK, I don't want to do this anymore.
TMI.
Yes. Not only TMI, but wow. That got it really intense. And wow, 2 hours. Come on. I remember when Roby was, I don't remember how old he was. He was little. And he was riding with me. I brought him with me to Orlando to speak. And we were driving in the car. And he asked the question about condoms. Dad, what's a condom? Mm-hmm. And he's sitting next to me in the car. We're both driving. And I go into this elaborate thing on condoms. And I probably looked over at him and about 20 minutes into it, and he's sound asleep in the next seat. It's like, Dad, you know, okay.
This is a little too much there,
a little too much, and I'm already bored with this discussion. Right. So I think part of it is, you know, when I took my car in because the gas gauge wasn't working on this electronic passage that the Chevy truck has package here, and the service manager, John Diaz, is coming out to talk to me about what's wrong with my car, and he's a friend. And so he's going on and on and on, and he all of a sudden looks at me and says, you don't want to know this much, do you? I said, no, I just want to know, can you fix it? How much? Done.
Right.
And he says, all right, we can fix it and it's okay. We'll take care of it. So I think we have to be like that also. Mm-hmm. How much do I really need to give them? And that's by watching. And one of your children just wants the instant answer. The other one might want to come back for more questions.
And why?
And so I got to be a listener as well as an explainer.
And if you're a natural like teacher, I like to explain things out. So I get the whole, you know, rolling out. Okay, Ruthie, we got the answer. Thank you very much. And I got to take those cues like, okay, let's move on.
I do. And I think I need to give them permission and teach them to say, thanks, Dad. This is more than I wanted. And somehow whatever.
Respectfully.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean, can you release us now?
Right.
Whatever it is, it's like, wow. And it's not that maybe it's too deep. Not that it's gotten too much of an explanation. It's just like, I don't need it anymore right now.
But you feel good as a parent because, the topic came up. Now I can really share what I think and then influence their thinking and raise them up. And
but
then,
they didn't want to be my audience.
Exactly.
My seminar audience. They're just my kids. And so
just your kids.
Yeah, they're my kids. And so, but I do think I need to not wait till they ask. I do think there's a lot of discussions I need to put on the table and realize, okay, this is more than they want. I'm going to give them this, but they know now the topic is open. And there are some topics like death we need to continue to open up the doors with our children. Everybody dies. It's statistical. So the reason we are grateful and go to church is because we know where we're going when we die, not because of going to church, not because of anything we've done. It's a gift. It's been handed to us. And it's so exciting to know that we ought to be able to have an assurance we're okay, and we ought to be able to be motivated to want to make sure the people around us understand, have come to an understanding, this is why you get to go to heaven because of accepting Christ. Death leads into that. I think most of the discussions have great spiritual underpinnings that we can have with them. I think there are some discussions I don't know the answer to. I don't know, I can't find the verse, but I do know the answer to. So I want to have those discussions. Actually, we had those discussions in the car on the way home from school.
Yeah.
We were 40 plus minutes in the car. We would have it.
And it's a captive audience at that point.
It was a captive audience and permission to fall asleep. You know, one of them would sleep almost every time.
Dad's got
to
keep his eyes on the road so he won't even know.
The other one was the asker and asked questions, staring straight ahead, not looking at me, but that's the one who would come at me with questions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach my children to be thinkers. I want to teach them where to go for answers. I want to help my children get it, that there are answers to all these questions. I may not have it. I'm just your dad. He's your father. He has the answers. Open up the difficult questions with your children and have these discussions.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to hear this program again, maybe share it with your spouse, a friend of yours, you can find that on Parenting Today's website. It's parentingtoday.org. You can link to the program in so many different ways. You can sign up for the daily email blog that comes automatically. That's again online at parentingtoday.org. And if you want more resources from Sheridan House Family Ministries, where they've got books and curriculum, all kinds of other things that Sheridan House Family Ministries also does, you can find that all online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Again, it's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on those difficult parent-child discussions here on Parenting Today.